Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 52, from January the 23rd of 1993. We are in the same venue, Morristown, Tennessee, so no new demographic information, even though that seems to be a popular segment of the show that we have begun, and it's an unintentional popular segment of the show. All that said, Harper, how you doing today, man? You doing all right?
What's up? Yeah. Watching the Karate Kid. Yeah.
Oh, Karate Kid's on this morning.
Yep.
All right. Okay. How is it? I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Well, you know what? I've always, you know, when you watch these movies now, you look out through a different set of eyes.
Sure do.
It's like, when I was a kid, Johnny was supposed to be this big badass, a big bad guy. And then when you watch this now, it's like, dude, if you're a senior in fucking high school, and all your friends are taking fucking karate lessons. I mean, you're a fucking little fucking bitch, man. Who the fuck does that? At fucking 17, 18 years old, you're still going to fucking karate classes.
I mean, I don't know, Alter. Like, I mean, you could be taking
kids
like
do.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu as an adult.
Yeah, okay.
You?
Oh, yeah. Whatever. And a riding fucking dirt bikes around. Get a fucking car.
I thought you were about to say something of when you're young, he's like, oh, he's this badass. And now you look back and you're 40 and you're like, man, I could whoop that piece of shit's ass instantly. Okay. All right. Doc, I know you're salty, but I'll ask anyway. How you doing?
You know, I was going to cut a public service announcement to the people I hate out in the audience about never, ever, ever doing any major renovations on your house. But then I thought twice about it because all these people that listen to the show aren't the people who get renovations done. They're the people who perform the renovations. So let me tell you
I
this.
I would not insult our great listeners like that.
I just said they're the ones that do it. You're the one that just insulted them.
Well, I'm saying that's insulting them because of where you're going, because you're pissed with your fucking hillbilly,
no, I'm gonna help
them
out.
Country redneck contractors that are fucking up the shit in your house.
I'm going to help them out a little bit. Here's the thing. When it's 8:30 at night, put down that 13th bush light and get yourself some sleep so that you can get a good night's sleep and get back to work early enough to get started. Maybe you get a full day in, because let me tell you something. Your competition, the Mexicans, they're out working. They're lapping your lazy country music Kenny Chesney listen ass.
Doc is not in a good mood. He's got some contractors
When you talk about swinging hammers, one Mexican equals four white dudes.
Are you done?
Hey, here's the thing. If I was Mexico, I'd want the wall to be away from us, our shit ass.
Well,
and you know what? If we had the Mexicans do it, it'd get done in about 6 months.
That's nice.
Jesse Ventura.
You put a bunch of Ricky and Randys out there listening to Rope in the Wind, and it'll take 14 years.
Did you hear what Jesse Ventura said about the wall?
They're too busy. Shut up. They're too busy stopping to go down to McDonald's to get themselves an Egg McMuffin or what the fuck ever instead of swinging a damn hammer.
He's salty. He's so salty. Jesse Ventura said he doesn't want the wall put up because the wall is not only made to keep people out, but to keep people in. Anyway,
and I want
let's
out.
Get started.
I don't want to be trapped, you motherfuckers.
Stop eating on air.
I'm having a Pop-Tart, dude.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Well, I'm about to mute everything that he's saying. So if you don't hear Doc whenever this comes out, it's because he was eating on air. All right.
I got it from Kevin Sullivan.
We need some five-star reviews. We need more of them, so give them to us. And I also want to thank Joe Stassi from Old School Pro Wrestling Lives and ICW Outlaws of Pro Wrestling. And now that I got that out the way, let's get started. Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode 52 from January 23rd, 1993. Like I said, same venue. Morristown, Tennessee, Tim Horner's town, and we kick things off. It's Dutch and Bob Cottle. Dutch has a sign, and it says, I have a degree, you don't. And Dutch will have Tim Horner on Down and Dirty. I personally can't wait for that one. Now, anything you have from that one, Doc?
No. Yeah. All right. we all have degrees, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Harper, anything from the opening of the show?
Nope.
Keeping it moving then. We got Paul Lee versus Dixie Dynamite. Only a couple notes here. Dixie throws a beautiful drop kick early in the match. Paul Lee misses that top rope leg drop, which every single time he misses that thing, it hurts me. And during the match, Dutch tells Bob, you need to quit that drinking. You're going to get us both run off, because Bob was having trouble recalling who Tracy Smothers beat for the TV title. Good stuff right there by Dutch. Dixie gets the win. Doc, what do you have from that matchup?
I had a couple of things real quick. Again, my note about Paulie missing that top rope ass drop, as I call it. Here's my question. Because we all hypothesized he probably got 50, 60 bucks to do that. So as two gentlemen wrestler bumpers, what dollar figure would it take for you two old men these days to climb to the top rope and ass drop to the bottom? Because everybody, I mean, Ted DiBiase taught us a valuable lesson that everybody's got a price. What dollar figure would it take for each one of you to climb up to the top and ass drop to the bottom and miss? You're a target.
150, 200 bucks.
Okay. Harper's a cheap date.
Yeah.
are you asking me the 21-year-old version of me to do that?
No, or later today.
41 years old, you're asking me to do that?
I'm going to drive by, pick you up. We're going to go down and find a ring somewhere at the BTT compound. We'll set it up. We'll get you in the ring, and you'll do an ass drop miss.
At 41 years old, I'm not doing that unless you throw me a cool $1,000. I'm not doing it.
Okay.
I'm not. I know how much it hurt at 23. I'm not doing it at 41, where my body doesn't heal as quick, and I'm older. Screw that.
Okay. It just sends shivers all over my body when he hits that, and I think I do the dollar per pound per square inch force ratio. I'm like, God, that's out of whack.
I cringe every time I see it. Harper, did you have anything from the match?
He was a shitty Ric Flair, huh?
That's his gimmick, dude.
God.
Yeah.
That's him. That's his gimmick. That's what he does.
I had another note here, because you had one Dutchism. I had a different Dutchism. He said he would fax his degree to Caudle.
Yeah.
Do you think that was a rib on faxing, like they were ribbing Horner for wanting a fax machine?
It could have been, now that you say it like that. I wouldn't have thought that, but yes, it could have been. It definitely could have been.
I can't think about a fax machine any other way than Tim Horner these days.
That is the only way that we look at a fax machine nowadays is whenever you think fax machine, I think of Tim Horner needing a fax machine.
Right. But all in all, good opener.
Yeah. Dixie wins. Harper, anything else?
Nah.
We then go to a recap of the primetime Brian Lee and Sullivan Van match from Barberville. They throw us to the match, which is a wild, hardcore, no-rules match. Some guy that is unidentified interferes in the match, knocks out the referee. Sandy Scott even gets involved and tells Sullivan, who is now attacking Primetime Brian Lee with his spike again, and he has Primetime Brian Lee busted open. But Sandy, when I say he gets involved, Sandy says, or he tells Sullivan on the mic, if you don't stop, you will get a lifetime ban from Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Harper, any thoughts from that recap of that brawl and the end of it?
Was that the little comic relief guy when they're by the campfire?
I wondered that too. But it was so dark then, I couldn't tell.
Yeah. It could have possibly been him. I don't know. May have been. Doc, what did you have from the match?
Well, we got some red X's. I always like that.
Yeah.
Mike and I had a conversation this past week at work about how great it would be if you could whip out the spike and just spike some people at work. So before he pulled out the spike, though, I was watching them get after it, and I got the sense that Sullivan wasn't real eager to take a whole bunch of bumps in a high school gym. If you go back and watch it through that lens.
I think Sullivan was just being Sullivan and just being a devil.
And then at the end, we get Primetime saying, He keeps saying he's going to get his revenge. But I don't believe him, because every time we see them get together, I get a red X over his head.
Yeah, really, huh?
At some point, I just, you're not a hero I can believe in, because you keep getting butchered.
I got the quick, it's like a 25-second segment from him. So here's primetime Brian Lee after he was butchered again. He wasn't butchered as bad, but he still got butchered, so here it is.
Kevin Sullivan, I'm sick and tired of every time I face you, you bust my head with something. I guarantee you one thing, when I see you again, you're going to be the one to bleed. I'm tired of tasting my own blood. You drew first blood, I'll draw last.
All right, so that was, is that what you were talking about, Todd?
Yeah, that's not a bad line. I like the first blood and last blood, but he's drawn first blood, second blood, third blood, fourth blood.
Well, I mean, in old school Southern territories, though, the heel always one up the babyface until the very end.
Hey, look, pal, I don't need you to tell me about how old Southern territories work.
Okay. All right, anything from Nat Harper from you with that promo from Primetime Brian Lee?
No, it's just I'm tired of seeing him get his ass beat.
Well, let's move on then. Bullet Bob is up now, and he's going to cut a promo. And this is still about what's going on with Sullivan and Primetime Brian Lee. So let's hear what Bullet Bob's got to say about the situation.
Fans with us now, Commissioner Bob Armstrong of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Last week we had chaos again between the Master Kevin Sullivan, Primetime Brian Lee. Commissioner, what in the world are we going to do to bring this thing to a head?
Well, the more I see of the problem between Brian Lee and Kevin Sullivan, the more I'm reminded of an old Western movie that says, this town ain't big enough for both of them. Yeah. Just like that, the Smoky Mountain area is not big enough for both of them. Somebody's going to get hurt bad, and somebody's going to get hurt permanently. Brian Lee can attest to that already. But one thing I'm going to do is say proudly right now that I'm behind Brian Lee, and I'm going to do my dead level best to find somebody to help him get rid of Kevin Sullivan. And Kevin Sullivan, this is for you. I don't care how many letters you or your lawyers write me. We at Smoky Mountain Wrestling are not going to pay for your psychiatric evaluation or your psychiatric therapy, and that's a fact. Live with it, Jack.
Those words from Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong, fans. We'll be back now. Don't go away.
Doc, go ahead.
Am I the only one that popped that Sullivan's trying to get the organization to pay for his therapy? That's a real heel move.
That mess is so absurd, it's hard to explain.
It was different.
It was 100% different, but it's so crazy, it's insane.
Well, and mental illness and mental health issues are still stigmatized in 2017. It was seen as like, and especially in that part of the country, they weren't psychiatrists, they were head shrinkers.
Yeah.
So it's when Harper says it's different, it is, and it plays to those people in that area big time, I think.
I agree. But I came unglued when he said, I'm not paying for something.
I actually laughed out loud.
Yeah.
This is pro wrestling. And he's like, we're not paying for his psychiatric help. And you know there were some freaking people in that audience. You tell them, Bullet Bob, we're not paying for that damn psychiatric help. They bought that.
He don't need to go to that head shrinker.
He don't need no damn head shrinker. That's a bunch of bullshit. You tell him, Bob Armstrong. Fuck him. Let him fucking shoot himself if he's that crazy.
What he needs is Primetime Brian Lee to just whoop him good and give him an attitude adjustment.
Okay. Let's keep it moving. There is a local promo that comes up next, but it's pretty dull. I mean, there's nothing much there, so
wow.
I'm going to skip it.
Way to bury the talent.
No, I mean, it's two good guys. I mean, it's Smothers and Rock and Roll, but it's...
What? Are you double parked? You're racing through this episode like you're double parked outside. What's going on?
No. Did you want to hear it?
No.
Okay. My only
note was that both were solid, and Smothers has to be the number one contender now.
Yeah. Well, and that's, here's the thing. We're about to get to that right now. So the next segment is the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright cutting a promo. And here it is. This tells us the direction things are about to head.
All right, fans, and with us right now here is the Dirty White Boy and his manager, of course, the legendary Ron Wright. Dirty White Boy, last week you came up short. You didn't get the $1,000 in the TV championship match.
Tracy Smothers, let me tell you something, punk. You owe me $1,000, plain and simple. Wow. Well, no, now that I think about it, Tracy, you owe me about $10,000 because I would have went all the way to the top. There'd been nobody beat me for 10 straight weeks, so you cost me 10 grand. You want to come out here, humiliate, and try to embarrass the heavyweight champion? Well, punk, before I'm through with you, you won't be in professional wrestling long, because there's only one man, and one man only, that rules the Smoky Mountain area, and you're looking at him.
That's right. What, have you had any word this week from Reno Riggins, Mr. Wright?
Well, let me tell you, I'm so disgusted with Riggins. A man my caliber, give him an opportunity of a lifetime, lay a gold mine out in the front of him, and he's not giving me an answer yet. He's just about to pop another artery, making me have to double up and triple up on my heart medicine to keep me under control where I can even come out here. But I tell you, he's up there in the ring. He better get busy and get his mind made up, Mr. Cottle, because he's needing a lot of help around here. I'll tell you that.
Well, he's going to be going for that $1,000 in our television match. What do you think about that, White? But wouldn't it be rather ironic if he were to win the $1,000 that you didn't win last week?
You think you're real, that? Real cute, don't you? The $1,000 belonged to me. And Tracy, I'm taking it out of your tail.
All right, fans, there it is from the Dirty White Boy and his manager, Mr. Ron Wright. And we're about ready with action. Let's go to the ring.
Harper, go ahead.
Yeah, I think they're the new big feud, huh? That's what it seems like.
That's
Tracy.
Exactly.
Tracy and
where we're going.
Yeah.
We can officially put the Dirty White Boy and Tim Horner feud behind us based on what the Dirty White Boy just said about wanting Smothers. And poor old Ron Wright needs to triple up on his heart medicine because Reno Riggins won't give Ron Wright an answer.
And he's going to take it out of his tail.
Yes. Doc, go ahead. I know you probably got some thoughts on it.
I got a couple of things here.
Yeah.
I sure hope poor Ron doesn't triple up on his heart medication without doctor's advice. As a doctor, let me tell you, that's not necessarily what you want to do. The other thing, did you hear him say he about to pop another artery?
Yes. Popping one artery might not be a good thing, much less another.
Right. I'm not a medical doctor, but let me just tell you, that's not good. Dirty White Boy seemed to be a little bit confused. It's 5 weeks instead of 10, so he cost him $5,000 instead of 10, but that's a minor nit. The other thing here that I thought, and it's based on something we did the other night. I guess now it's been a couple of weeks, a few weeks.
It's been about a month.
Yeah, there you go. we did some Disney tapings down at, you know, at Disney, and it's hard to tell who's the champ right now. We were talking on the YouTube thing about Horner and Dirty White Boy, where Horner gets hung, about how we couldn't hear what Dirty White Boy was saying, but he was conveying so much emotion through the screen and really just almost telling a story when you couldn't even hear the words. So the thing that I thought was interesting then was, as I've listened, was just listening to this, all the things that I think I missed from not seeing the visual there and the story, and he's mad. So maybe as we do more YouTube videos, you guys need to go check that out as well, because that's something we were really keying in on the other night, was the emotion he was conveying with just his facial expressions.
Yeah, his
really good stuff.
Yeah, he does a great job conveying that, his facials and just his body language. And Ron Wright does too. I mean, watch Ron Wright when he cuts those promos. I mean, it's not just what he's saying and how he says it, but he's always clutching his chest, rubbing his heart. You know, you just got to watch him. I mean, he's even when we cut the YouTube video where Horner is about to get on Ron Wright and get the glass bottle blasted to his forehead, Horner turns around and goes after Ron Wright. And you can't even hear him because we're cutting the YouTube video. But what does Ron Wright do? He takes his glasses off and is shaking his head emphatically. We are not listening to him. We're giving our own commentary, but it's like you wouldn't hit a man with glasses. So it's just the body language of it, which sells it. So I agree. Harper, anything else from that?
No. I'll wait to find out what Reno Riggins has to say.
Yeah, well, it's coming up. So
yeah,
here's the thing. Also, we're finding. I'm interested in what Riggins has to say, but we're also on the heels now. We're on the doorstep of our first really good singles feud for the heavyweight strap. If you think about it,
yeah.
Yes, 100%. That's true. And that was what I was saying about this whole feud it going into a new direction right here. So I meant it when the promo was over. I said we can officially put the Dirty White Boy and Tim Horner behind us. I mean, if that drove you nuts, it's over. It's Tim Horner is going in a new direction. Dirty White Boy is going in a new direction, and thank God. And if you listen to the flagship show with Tracy Smothers a few weeks ago, he kind of talks a little bit about this feud. We're nowhere near that right now, but that's where it's going. So, yeah, there we go. All right, we go from that to a match. It's Reno Riggins versus Tracy Smothers. Ron Wright is at ringside, appearing to keep an eye on Riggins. This wasn't a quick match, but it was babyface versus babyface, so there isn't much in the way as far as, like, shenanigans go, although Ron Wright is out there. At one point, I know he's mad at Riggins because Tracy Smothers is down and Reno Riggins won't, kick the man while he's down. So that, of course, doesn't make Ron Wright happy. Smothers gets the win. Doc, I'll ask both of you and Harper, do you want to give a quick recap of your thoughts on the match? Would you like me to go straight to the promo after the match?
I mean, it was just chain wrestling.
Right. It was babyface and babyface. So you don't have... I mean, that's why babyface versus babyface matches I never was a fan of back in the day. But
yeah.
Doc, anything, or want me to go to the promo?
Just a brief thing. I thought it was a good match. I thought it was something different. And the one note I had was, it's awesome to see Ron Wright, the back of Ron Wright's head as he's out there scouting talent again. Because we haven't seen that in almost a year. So
yeah,
good to see Ron back out into the, he's feeling, he's got his new hip. He's got his lung, artificial lung. The it's bearing fruit to manage the champ, and he's back out scouting, and it made me feel good. It warmed my heart.
Such an inside joke related to our workplace when he just used that phrase, bearing fruit. It popped me. We got a lot of people at work, Doc, that like to bear fruit.
Yeah, we got a lot of people that need a Sullivan spike.
I can't tell you how many times Doc will IM me and go, bro, I think I'm going to come over to your house later. Can you teach me a sugar hole or two? Because there's some people up in this motherfucker who need to be put in a sugar hole.
I just need, like...
I don't need a lot. I just need to eat. Like, I just need to learn one.
What did I say this week? I said, I instant messaged you. I said, we need to start a BTT wrestling school. And he's like, oh, God, no. And I'm like, no, here's the plan. I'll be the first student. You teach me how to... Ron Garvin's somebody, and then we'll shut down the school.
Okay. All right. So let's keep it moving now. We got Tracy Smothers. It's a promo, and then Reno Riggins gets involved too, I believe, if my notes are correct. So here it is.
Bob Caldwell standing by with Tracy Smothers.
All right, fans, and with us right now, still our television champion, another $1,000 richer, too.
Oh, man.
Tracy's mother. What an outstanding wrestling match that was, Tracy.
Thanks a lot, Bob. I tell you what, just before our match, I heard that dirty white boy out here running his mouth, hollering and screaming about what he's going to do to me. Well, I proved to all these people right here last week and the millions of people on TV that I can get the job done. White boy, you want some of me? You ain't got to go very far, man. I'm a Southern-born, Southern-bred thoroughbred, so bring it on any time. Well, I'm $1,000 richer. I'm real happy about that. But they don't get no easier. Let me tell you something. That young man right there, Reno Riggins, is a tremendous athlete. I faced every top spar. Reno, come on over here, if you will, please.
Yeah, it was a whale of a good wrestling match.
He's a darn good wrestler.
And not only that, it was an outstanding wrestling match, and I think on the part of both of you, there was a tremendous amount of sportsmanship involved in that match.
Mr. Cottle, Reno, you got a tremendous amount of talent, and you doggone sure don't need that Ron Wright out here. You don't need that at all. I've been on that side of the fence, and that's the wrong road, Reno. You got a tremendous amount of talent. And let me tell you this, that match could have gone either way. You are headed, I mean, brother, you're big star bound. I'm going to tell you that. You're one of the finest scientific wrestlers I've ever wrestled, and I've wrestled everybody.
Have you made up your mind about that, about Ron Wright, Reno? Are you still pondering that?
Well, I'd rather not touch on that right now, but I would like to thank Tracy Smothers for coming out here and saying all the nice things he has said about me, and I'd like to thank all these fans out here for backing me, and you know, I just really wouldn't like to say anything about that situation right now, Bob.
All right, again, congratulations to you, Reno. Tremendous match and a great win for you too, Tracy. By the way, you get another shot at it, another $1,000 next week.
Four more weeks. That's another $1,000. Four more weeks, and I can get that $5,000. I'm ready to go. Southern born, Southern bred, American by birth, and Southern by the grace of God. Thank you very much.
All right, fans. We'll be back. We'll have more right after.
The end when he goes, thank you very much. He's so damn all shucks. Jesus. Doc. Thoughts. Doc, are you on mute? All right, Harper, you go.
Hey. It's almost like he's trying to tell him to not do drugs when he's talking about Ron White. When he's like, man, I've been on that side of the fence, and you know, you don't want to go there, man. Stay away from there.
Pretty much. I mean, he's just, you know, that's what they did back in the day. I mean, I think I've seen angles like that before, though, where they, you know, don't do it. You know, you stay on the straight path. You can make it like this. Trust me.
You need to stop muting me. But anyway.
Nobody muted you, asshole.
Right. So that was just awesome. You know, he didn't say, I'll jump on and then you jump on and then blah, blah. He said, I'm not a hard man to find. If you want some, we can do it. I mean, clear. Concise, just, and then he's, you know, he put Reno over like $1 million.
He sure did.
Reno's talking like, the fans. And all I could think about when he said that was, what was it, about a month ago? We were watching Morton and Flair on Saturday night, and Harper pointed it out. He said, man, I love that line where Rick said, I don't need a bunch of people. I don't care whether they love me or hate me, because I love myself.
He sure
did. Right.
That was a damn good line. That line was great.
So that's what I thought of when Reno was out there trying to figure out his way in life. Because Smothers is, you know, he's a stone cold babyface. Jeez. And it's, you know why he's just such a talent is that he's so believable. He's so good in this role. But then you hear Harper talk about, well, he was down at Wildcat this week. He's in his mid-50s. He walks with a cane pretty much, and he's healing out on everybody. He's just good at both sides of this because he's a natural worker.
Yeah, he knows how to work both sides. I agree. Okay, anything else, Doc?
No, I really enjoyed that. Smothers is just, you know, and he could, I have to think that at this point in time, he could run for governor of one of these hillbilly states and maybe win.
He probably could.
I think Harper said this about a few episodes ago. He's their Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's their Hulk Hogan.
He's a real Southern boy. I mean, that's what he is.
Remember that? Right. Remember the intro vignette, and they show him out on the boat, and like, I mean,
out fishing, shirt off, jeans, right. Cowboy boots.
He's authentic.
He's on the swing. He's on the porch swing. You know, he's. They just wanted me to. They put us in these old shiny outfits and wanted to call us the Young
Meanwhile
Pistols. And
out there. He's out there on the boat. Horner's the guy who runs into him the day before and goes, oh, y'all are going boating? Can I go with you? And Smothers is like, yeah, man, we'll give you a call. And then they never give him a call and they go out boating without him.
Just leave that son of a bitch. Although Tracy did say he had no issues with Tim when I talk to him in, on the flagship
show. That's fine. That makes one of us.
That makes one of us, yeah. Okay, so we wrap that up, and then we go to a segment that's Down and Dirty with Dutch. And the first thing they do, they replay Paul Orndorff ripping apart the foam bolt from the kid, and then Horner attacking Orndorff, which, as you can clearly see, this is the transition of Horner and Dirty White Boy are done. We're now moving on to Paul Orndorff and Tim Horner. God bless you, Paul Orndorff, because now you're going to be carrying this dude through this feud. And I like the replay here before we get to Down and Dirty, because the kid, Paul Orndorff, who's your favorite wrestler? White Lightning. Who? White Lightning. Then he rips the... Then he rips the bolt up, and then we get the promo from Horner. I'm sorry. We get Down and Dirty from Dutch with Tim Horner, and here it is.
For the last week tag match.
Okay, fans, you've seen what happened last week, and right here, standing right with me here is White Lightning, Tim Horner. And, Tim, I just want to say that, you know, the way Paul Orndorff acted last week, I don't agree with it, and I think you did absolutely the right thing by coming out and doing exactly what you did.
Well, you know, Dutch, I figured you'd see it my way. You seem to always do when we're kind of face-to-face, if you know what I mean.
Jesus.
Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Paul Orndorff. You come out here and you degrade these people. You degrade everybody. You say that you're Mr. Wonderful and you've been all over the world. Well, I've been a few places myself, and most recently it was on you, if you can recall. So let me just tell you something. If you got something to say to me, Mr. Wonderful, you say it to my face. Don't say it about my family. Don't say it about my friends. And certainly don't say it about my fans. You understand what I'm saying? Now, let me tell you something else, Mr. Wonderful.
Damn.
Thanksgiving Thunder, you interfered in my match. You cost me that title. Now we've been going around tag matches, me and Ronnie Garvin. You won't have the guts one-on-one to face me. Always got to have something to wrap around your hand or get something from Ron Ryder, the Dirty White Boy. If you want some of me, jump on me. I'll help you all I can. You understand where I'm coming from? I'm not a hard man to find. These people know I'll fight when I have to. And now it's come the time to fight, Mr. Wonderful, and that's exactly what it's going to be. If you want to fight, it's going to be a fight. Jump on me, get in my face, slap me, and get me in the mood, if you know what I'm talking about. So go ahead, get in my face, jump on me. If you get tired, I'll take over. But nevertheless, Mr. Wonderful, I'm going to get you wherever it's going to be. If it's here, it's my parking lot, who cares? It doesn't matter to me. Does it matter to you, Dutch?
No, sir. Doesn't matter to me where you get him, as long as you don't get me. Mr. That's it, folks. Right now, that's Down and Dirty with Dutch. You heard the comments from Tim Horner to Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. Fans, don't go away. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Jesus Christ! Let me be clear. We are laughing at how pathetic that was, not because we enjoyed it in the Ric Flair mode. Oh, my God, Doc Harper, what the hell? Harper, well, what did we just listen to?
Nothing.
I think my ears need a rape kit. God damn.
We'll swab your ears for vaginal tears.
Fuck.
That was...
Wait, say that again, Doc. We'll swab your ears for vaginal,
for vaginal tears. Dude.
Oh, my God.
First of all, why can't he say Paul Orndorff or Mr. Wonderful?
Yeah. Fuck.
My next note was, good God, I'm ready for him to get fired. And my wrap-up was, other than getting him in the mood, which just made me... throw up in my mouth when I was watching this. This was like a greatest hits record. This was easily his worst promo in a year.
This shit was gold.
Hold on, that's saying a lot when you say
right.
That was
this
his
is worse
worst
than the jive and social, because he hit several, every one of those one liners that he hit that popped us and was like, that's ridiculous. He mixed them all in this one, except for Jip Jive and Socializing. The only way this isn't his lowest moment in the promotion is because he didn't start singing.
And the singing was even better than this bullshit, probably.
Here's my question. he must have had an ownership stake in the company, because otherwise, if he's wrapped up with Dirty White Boy, he comes to the back after that, and it's like, well, we'll put Reno Riggins in your spot. You're out.
This was so terrible.
Hey, Mike, guess who wins the Tim Horner Award this
week? Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
What
Thin
is this,
Man
five
Within
weeks,
on
five
Twitter.
Weeks,
yes.
5 weeks in a row. This is like one of those things, like back in the day when we were kids, you'd have radio, they'd have the battle at 9 o'clock, which song gets the most votes. And then you'd get like Metallica song, and it would just win so long they had to retire it. We're going to have to retire this award and start it
Bro,
back up after he leaves.
This is like the 1960 Celtics or the UCLA Bruins from back in the day that just kept winning titles. It's like a Horner's shattering even all those back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back titles. He's just – he's the fucking – he is the poster child of lameness when it comes to promos. Like this dude, and I say it continuously – in the ring, he's not bad. He's very good. He needed a mouthpiece, even as a babyface. It's just, this is such a train wreck that it's entertaining to us in the worst way possible. We sat there like three goddamn schoolgirls on a schoolyard laughing hysterically at that whole 2 minutes and 10 seconds. Like, and it's you can't hold it. You can't contain yourself. Oh my God! All right.
I don't
anything
want him
else?
To get fired, man.
No, I'm ready. Said,
no, I don't want him to get fired because he makes me feel smart.
You agree with offer, Doc?
No,
I agree.
I think this was his. Should have been his ending parting shot. I think we've wrung all of the ridiculousness out of him. That how can he go any lower than this?
Well,
this is what he did. This is what rock bottom looks like.
I do need to say this.
We are the equivalent of being in some $18 a night motel sucking dick for crack right now.
Oh,
this
God.
Is just
well. Here's the thing. If you do like us making fun of Tim Horner, this past week, which you're listening to this many weeks later, but this past week on the YouTube channel, go to tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube. Doc Harper and myself did two different commentaries on Tim Horner. One of them was Tim Horner being raped and cannibalized by Kamala. Not really rape, but being cannibalized by Kamala in Mid-South Wrestling in 82. And then we also covered with our own commentary the hanging of Tim Horner in Smoky Mountain Wrestling in 1992 by the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright.
And,
so,
and by commentary, you mean just we sat there and cheered for the entire length of the segment.
Yeah. We cheered and had a glorious time enjoying Tim Horner being just destroyed. Which was great. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube. Go there, and there's more, but we did those two in the last couple of weeks, so check them out and subscribe to the channel. We'd appreciate it. Now, let's move on. We good to move on, Harper?
Yes.
All right. Oh, boy. Here we go. So we go to a pretty lengthy recap of the Rock and Roll Express Stud Stable and the Heavenly Bodies feud, the three of them. They went all the way back to August 8th when the Rock and Roll Express got back together last year. And, you know, a lot's happened. The main notes that I had from this segment that they showed here was they replayed the Down and Dirty segment with the Stud Stable. And I thought, I'm sorry, with the Stud Stable and the Heavenly Bodies, and I thought that was still excellent. We covered that a while back. Harper, did you have any notes from this lengthy recap?
No, but I mean they recapped the whole damn thing, man.
Yes, they did, which was fine, and there's a point to it because of what it's building to coming next week. Doc, what about you?
FF
what? I'm confused.
I fast forwarded through this. I've seen it once.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, I still enjoyed that Down and Dirty segment with the Stud Stable. And the Heavenly Bodies. Yeah. I thought that was really, really good.
I did stop for that because it was a masterstroke performance by everyone involved.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so from there, Doc, did you want to go through the local promo that they played with the Dirty White Boy?
I thought it was a solid promo.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good too. Let's it's I think it's relatively short, so let's cue it up. This is a local promo towards the end of the episode. Here it is.
Time limit, no disqualification. Kevin Sullivan against Primetime Brian Lee for the tag titles. The Rock and Roll Express versus the Heavenly Bodies, and the Wild Eyed Southern Boy Tracy Smothers is coming to Barberville to take on the heavyweight champ, the Dirty White Boy.
Tracy Smothers, take a real good look at what's standing right here in front of you. Got a good look yet? It's called the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion, the Dirty White Boy. Now, son, where's this, Barberville? Well, Barberville, you get ready in Barberville, baby. Tracy, it's really funny because I have nothing to lose. You have everything to gain, my man. This is a one-in-a-lifetime shot. You get the opportunity to step in the ring against one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. That's right. I put my name in the top category against everybody. Why? Because I've proved myself time and time again. So, Tracy, I tell you what, son. You lace them boots up real good and tight. And you put your little jacket on, you put your hat on, you get out with your flag, and you run around that arena, and you hoot and holler to all them people and get them behind you. Because the bottom line is, my dear friend, at the end of that match, I will walk out the winner.
All right, Doc, you wanted me to play it, so go ahead, give your thoughts.
The part I liked to that was when he put himself up there with anybody. And what that said to me was, yeah, there's WCW, there's WWE, and I'm as good as them without saying it. And as the champ, that makes us, as the promotion, just as good as them.
Good point. Good point. Harper, what about you?
I be honest, I didn't really watch this. Dude, I mean, dude, a lot of this little hometown stuff, I'm like, nah.
See, you gotta, I agree. Some of them are kind of like, eh. But yeah. there have been some really, really good gems.
That's where we got Landell and Dirty White Boy crocked off their ass.
Right. High on, you know, yeah. That's where they were high. So there are, and you know, there are a bunch of them too where Jim Cornette's talking about the currency in Eastern Tennessee or Kentucky. I can't remember. And he's got the food stamp. And there's some decent ones. You forgot too. There's that one where it was 53 cents or 57 cents to get in, and
oh,
you're like,
God
damn, that was a change nightmare.
Fuck that. Because you know damn well they didn't have – who in the fuck's going to have two quarters and three fucking pennies?
And you know the workers hated it because then you're handing a bunch of uneducated hillbillies a bunch of pennies they can throw at the ring.
Fuck that.
I was at a show one time where We had Tic Tacs thrown at us because they
gave
out Tic Tacs.
That's because your breath smells like asshole.
Yeah. They gave out Tic Tacs at this show, and we were bombarded by Tic Tacs. Dude.
Who gave out Tic Tacs?
Oh, this was up in Alabama somewhere. I can't remember the town, but
So it was Nick Saban. I got it.
No, it wasn't Nick Saban. Okay, let's keep it moving because this next segment we're listening to, this is a big deal to me setting up next week, where next week is a great episode. Not that this one was bad, but this next week, this is really setting things up going forward in next week's episode and beyond. So here it is. This is Bullet Bob Armstrong, and I believe he's interrupted by the Heavenly Bodies, and I think the Stud Stables too. So here we go.
Fans with us now, Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Commissioner Armstrong, we told all the fans that next week we'd have a title match right here for our Smoky Mountain Tag Team Championship. We didn't know who the competitors were going to be. Have you chosen a team yet, the number one contenders that are going to vie for that championship?
Yes, I have. I have chosen the Stud Stable. Will meet Rock and Roll Express here next week. for the tag team titles. We've told the fans they'd have a title match right here on TV. The tag team titles will go on the line, Rock and Roll Express against the Stud Stable, and that'll happen on TV right here next week. And, brother, it ought to be a good one.
So you decided against the Heavenly Bodies then and Jim Cornette.
Well, they've had their chance. I figure Stud Stables hadn't had a chance yet. Why not give them a chance to go for the tag
team? What is this? What is this? What are you talking about, Stud Stable getting a shot at the tag team title? We're the number one contenders, and we ought to have the shot at the belts, especially on TV where all these idiots could see it.
Listen, you've had your chance. The Stud Stables haven't had a chance yet. I'm giving them a chance right here.
They don't need it. They haven't had a chance to cure cancer or do heart surgery either because they ain't qualified. They're not qualified to be the tag team champions. We are. We've been that four times. The Stud Stable got no business. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Dutch Mantel, I have always, always liked you. But I tell you something, and you listen real good because I got my boy standing here. You tell that Stud Stable, they don't need to be coming around the Heavenly Bodies anymore. I'm calling my mama's attorneys. We're going to see about this tag team title situation. Excuse and you me. Tell the Stud, yeah, there's no excuse
just
for you.
Let me tell you something, Cornette. You want to call somebody?
Stable.
Here's a quarter. Call anybody you want to. Let's get me out of here.
You tell the Stud Stable they better stay out of our business from now on. You know what? I never liked that stinking Dutch Mantel. He ought to... Quarter. He ought to have a haircut and a shave. Let me tell you, I knew that was
going to.
Yeah, and I saw that smile on your face too, Carl.
No,
everybody, no. Everybody, including you, is on their side. That stupid Bob Armstrong is out here. We've been the champions. We had the belts. Those Stud Stables have never had any belts in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. They don't deserve a chance.
I know what they've had. They've had about four or five quarts of liquor down their gullet. That's why.
Oh, and wait a minute. Here comes Dutch. Dutch with the Stud Stable.
If you wanted me to tell them, here they are.
I think congratulations is in order. Let's have it.
Hey, why don't you congratulate this? You guys don't deserve a shot. We do.
Oh, and wait a minute, fans. We got something going on.
We're nothing about number one contender. You want a ring? There's a ring on
the show. Oh, and they're going to go to the ring right now.
Let's see who the better team is.
Well, there they go.
All right, we'll see right now.
And Dutch is going to go.
Okay, Doc, they head to the ring, and it appears we're going to have a match, although literally we've got like a minute and a half, 2 minutes before the end of the episode. I'll let you talk about the promo, and then if you want to talk about what happens with this match on the fly, so to say, you can go from there.
I liked Courtney's line about, well, they haven't cured cancer either because they're not qualified. Yeah. I also popped on his yellow jacket, pink pants combination. I wrote down he looked like a bag of Starbursts.
He sure did. I'm looking that at it right now as we're just say that.
That was an interesting sartorial choice he made there, and I know that word went over 99% of our audience's head, so I apologize.
That's nice.
And once again, I think they're setting this up really well with this triangle with two heels and a face team that nobody likes anybody.
Yeah.
So that they can, that it provide, to me, it provides a lot of options for matches and ways to go here.
Yeah. Don't put it past you too, that they are in Morristown and they're going to go to a new venue next week. And there's supposed to be next week a match between the Stud Stable and the Rock and Roll Express for the Smoky Mountain titles. Keep that in mind. There's a new venue next week with this TV taping. So they're not in the same building with the TV taping. Just laying that out there. Remember that when we get into next week. Harper, anything from you with the promo?
I love what Cornette says when he tells Dutch, I've always liked you. Then when he doesn't get his way, he's like, I never liked that bastard.
Yeah, that's a good perfect, heel.
Yeah, perfect heel move.
Yes, yeah, perfect heel move. I agree. I like when Cornette said that they hadn't had anything besides liquor down their gullet either, or 4 gallons of liquor down their gullet. I thought
that may be a truthful statement.
Whoa, I mean, can you imagine? Because we know Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller were sitting in the back when Dutch came to get them and said, "Hey, they're calling you out there." Like you always say, Doc.
Let me put my beer down. Hold on.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. That's exactly what he said.
They did one of two things. If the beer was more than halfway full, they looked for a place to sit it down. if it was less than half full, they just crushed it and went on out.
That too. And then after they went out there and kicked ass, this is what Robert Fuller did.
Yeah, I see. Baby's got a pot roast on.
He took it home.
It's almost like he's saying Yahtzee.
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 Wait. Hold on. Here it is again.
Yeah, I see. Baby's got a pot roast on.
He maybe did, dude. Whoa. That's a good catch, Doc. Wow.
Jesus.
All right. That's the episode. It was actually kind of short because you got the recap in there with the Stud Stable, Rock and Roll Express, and the Heavenly Bodies. So, you know, I think we should give out the disability checks at this point. And I'll go first. I don't mind. I am going to throw it 7 disability checks. Doc, you next.
Horner is a big subtraction here. I don't care how we position it. That was just a disaster.
A shit show.
I'm going to give it 7.2.
All right, Harper, you?
I would give it a 7, and Horner is just such a fucking train wreck. He reminds me of when you watch those stupid videos with the kids on a skateboard and you just waiting for them to bust their ass. That's what a freaking Horner promo is.
Yeah.
You just waiting for them to just sound like a fucking idiot. And
he never disappoints.
No. And it's almost like he doesn't belong there.
The irony is, it's his backyard. It's where he's from.
So, I would give it a 7.
Horner's out of place, even where he's from. Oh boy, yeah. I tried to gloss over Horner because of there were you know, we got some Ron Wright gold, we got some Dirty White Boy gold, we got some Cornette gold. So I went with 7. I could have gone lower, but to Doc's point, man, Horner just. But here's the thing: we're knocking the episode for Horner, but we sat there during that 2.5 minutes or however long it was and laughed our ass off at it too, because it was so terrible.
If you don't laugh, you cry. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you got a point.
I don't want to see him go.
I don't either,
Harper. I don't either because he's a source of comedy. He's a source of. He's a source of, look, it is fucking idiot. That's like exactly what we do when we see it. We go, oh, here he comes. Yeah, he's the punchline.
You know what he is? In that part of the country, he's the people's champion.
Jesus Christ.
That should tell you something.
Right.
I don't know, man. I hear from a lot of people from that area, and they're like, nah, we weren't behind that idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just saying. We do have to do the government.
And I thought Tony Romo was going to lead us to a Super Bowl.
You sure did. Boy, he fooled you for a very long time. All right, everybody. I want to remind everyone, please consider becoming a patron. Go to tinyurl.com/BTTpatron. We put out 8 free shows a month, each and every month, every single Thursday and every single Sunday night. Again, every one of them. Doc, you asked me a couple of weeks ago, when's the last time we missed a show?
We haven't.
In 2+ years, we have never missed a show, either in a week. And then once we started going to 2 shows a week, we put them out there for you. So if you appreciate what we do, go to tinyurl.com/BTTpatron. Not only is it a great way to support the show, but there are some patron-only episodes out there that you get. You know, some of them are short. I mean, they're generally no more than 30 minutes or so. Some of them are only about 15. But I've released a few within the last few weeks. So please check it out. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTpatron. The link is also in the show notes. You can find it there. And then special shout out to the Hall of Fame patrons this year, which is at T-Hog94, at Gerald Green III, at USC 49ers Dodgers, at SV Pageum, at Martin Howell 71, at Tim Moreci, Codeman 822, at Unconvinced Ray, and at Godbold Unreal. Thank you for being Hall of Fame patrons. We definitely appreciate your support of the show. And then also, if you're shopping on Amazon, I'm going to take this again from the great Brian Lass in the 605 because I heard him say this a few weeks back. Give tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon to your wives and girlfriends and tell them while they're spending all your money like me and Doc's wives do to please use that link. It is a great way to support the show. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Once again, that link is in the show notes, and you can find it there. Give it to your wives and girlfriends and tell them to use it, because we all know women like to just spend money on frivolous shit. Right, Doc?
No, they need stuff.
Yeah.
Need. Need.
Hey, you know what? Hey, you know what else these freaking losers could do?
Oh, shit.
They can go to Vimeo on demand and freaking download Wildcat Sports.
Hold on.
That's it.
Hold on.
Good idea.
Hold on.
And Hopper. You're right.
Wait. Hopper, I got it for you right here. Here it is.
All right. Yeah, so like all you shitheads that like always message me, how can I watch this if I don't live in New Orleans? Here's your chance. It's fucking $5 a month to subscribe. Fucking $5. That's like 5 cans of spam for y'all. So go to Vimeo.com, Wildcat. You can watch all our shit. It's $5 a fucking month.
That's how you ask for somebody's money. You insult them, right, Hopper? Good job.
Well, all right. I mean, it's true. All these people message me like, how can I watch this? Here's your chance. Vimeo.com, Wildcat, $5 a month. It's that goddamn simple.
Okay. All right, Hopper.
Did Harper say subscribe there?
Maybe so. Okay. All right. Let's do some government cheese real quick. Government cheese. Oh God. Ron Wright is gonna get it as usual from me. I'm sorry. Gotta do Ron Wright. Doc, who you got?
Give me the wild-eyed Southern boy. Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that, too. Who's you giving it to, Hopper?
Cornette, man.
Jim Cornette? Well, you can't go wrong there. Mm-hmm. And the Government Cheese Award is brought to you by longtime listener Shar Johnson, who gave us the idea. And the Tim Horner Award goes to Tim Horner.
Yeah.
Shocking revelation there, right, guys?
That's as crazy as when Lou Gehrig got Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh, God. Come on, Doc. All right, that almost is going to wrap things up. I want to mention, check out our friends from the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing with the Kingpin, Brian Malonis, and Mike Crockett. They do their podcast Mondays on the NAI Network and one on Thursday on their own feed. Easiest way to find them is just search WPAN on your favorite podcast app, and it will come up, and you can listen to them twice a week. Cover a variety of things. Ring of Honor, some of the current scene, lots of the older scene as well. So a very big mixture. And then check out our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the like button while you're there. And then click the shop now button and go buy some pro wrestling tees from our pro wrestling tee store. And then follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Hopper is at CJHHudat. I think that's all I got. If you missed any of the links that I mentioned in the show, just check the show notes. They are all there, along with the Smoky Mountain Wrestling t-shirts, the Ron Wright tee, and a couple other tees as well. All right, Doc, you got anything else before we get out of here?
No.
All right, Harper, you got anything before we get out of here?
Nope.
All right, everybody, I'm going to just put this out there right now. Episode 53 is fucking hotter than six suns, and we're about to do it. Unfortunately, you're not going to hear it until next week. So, would you agree, Doc?
How do you keep an idiot in suspense?
Oh, okay, here you go. Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here for this week's episode.
Book it, bitch.